Before we get to our next piece, a warning. Parts of this interview may be disturbing to some listeners. As social media platforms grow in influence over our lives, new research from the University of Georgia suggests hashtags related to self-injury may be increasing on Instagram. Lead researcher of the study and associate professor at the University of Georgia's Department of Counseling and Human Development Services, Amanda Giordano joins us today. Welcome to Athens News Matters.
Thank you so much for having me and for your interest in this topic.
Can you define self-injury and self-harm?
Yeah, so self-injury is the intentional infliction of pain or harm to one's body without the intent to die.
Can you describe some motivations for self-injury and for posting about it online?
So what we see in the research is that some individuals engage in non-suicidal self-injury as a means of emotion regulation. That's really the most common motivation. So if I'm feeling bad or I have a lot of psychological distress or psychological pain and I'm not sure how to deal with it, by causing harm to myself, inflicting pain into my body, that could be a way of escaping from that psychological pain by focusing on physical pain. But there are some other motivations for self-injury, things like self-punishment. So for individuals who have hatred towards the self or self-loathing, it actually can also be used as a means of anti-dissociation. So if an individual experiences trauma, particularly chronic trauma in childhood, they may learn to dissociate as a way of surviving the trauma. And so by inflicting harm to oneself, that could jar an individual back into the present moment and can serve as a means of anti-dissociation. Another is just to communicate one's pain with others. So if they don't have the words to describe their emotional pain, sometimes by inflicting harm on oneself, that can be a form of communication as well. What we're seeing recently in the last decade or so, researchers have been looking at the prevalence of self-injury related content online. And we're finding quite a bit of research support for the fact that individuals are uploading NSSI related content, so non-suicidal self-injury related content online. And so as we see the prevalence of social media use, particularly among adolescents, so there's an average age of about 12 of when individuals begin engaging in non-suicidal self-injury, it just makes sense that we're seeing more NSSI related content online as well.
Your study looked at hashtags related to non-suicidal self-injury on Instagram. Can you tell us what you were hoping to find from the study and what you ultimately found?
So the purpose of this study, since we know that NSSI-related content is becoming prevalent online, we wanted to see how Instagram users were thinking about NSSI-related content. So we searched for five hashtags that often are associated with non-suicidal self-injury. So hashtags like cutting and self-harm. And we looked at the associated hashtag and we went through and identified all psychologically relevant associated hashtags and categorized them. So our results were pretty interesting and a bit disheartening that we found the most commonly associated hashtags with the five hashtags related to NSSI content fit into the categories of suicide or depression.
Why is it concerning that social media users may have more access to self-injury content?
That's a great question. And it's a little bit more complex than you might think. So some people turn to online communities to talk about issues like non-suicidal self-injury as a way of seeking support. Others also post online to find reasons to stop or encouragement to stop, or people who've been through something similar, but then they were able to stop that behavior. And so they can offer advice about what worked. So that could be almost a beneficial official side of NSSI content online. But the more negative side or potentially risky side is related to this concept called social contagion. So if an individual engages in a behavior like non-suicidal self-injury or a suicide attempt, sometimes there's an imitation of that behavior in one's immediate environment. And so we call that social contagion. And typically it's in one's immediate environment. But now that we have online access where you can see what people are doing across the globe, it could increase that social contagion to a much wider audience. The recent research reveals that although age of first non-suicidal self-injury experience is around 12 years old, age of first exposure to non-suicidal self-injury is between 10 and 11. So obviously these adolescents are becoming exposed to it either through movies or what's streaming on the media or online before they're engaging in the behavior themselves.
What can parents, guardians, or even peers do to help adolescents who might see self-injury content online?
There needs to be more information about what adolescents could potentially see online. So prior to getting online, it's important to just educate children and adolescents about what they might see and what to do when they come across those types of images or that content. And so by opening that communication, that can be really important. So adolescents don't come across something that they've never heard of before. They don't really have a schema or a mental category for, and then they think, oh, I might not have, I wasn't supposed to see that. So I'm going to keep it as a secret. And that can lead to just a lot of questions and curiosity or looking for information elsewhere when they could go back to their parents or guardians and say, this is what I came across. It was disturbing to me, or it elicited a lot of questions. Can you help me process this?
And what should parents, guardians, or even peers do if they know someone or if they are someone who self-injures?
Yeah. So what we know is that it's prevalent. Recent research has said that up to 17% of U.S. adolescents have engaged in non-suicidal self-injury. And there's a lot of resources available. So there are group treatment options, there are individual counseling options. There are a lot of professionals who have training in non-suicidal self-injury. So the first thing I would recommend is to broach the subject with the individual who may be harmed themselves. So asking the question, showing that you care about their psychological state, and then helping them get connected to resources. But if we don't talk about it, and if we kind of look the other way and we never ask someone about their mental health or about some of these behaviors, then they might not ever get connected to these resources.
Amanda Giordano is an associate professor in UGA's Department of Counseling and Human Development Services.